This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick in Washington, coming up on Africa News Tonight.
This is not only a humanitarian crisis, it is also an ecological crisis that can affect the livelihood of these people for the future. We need to take action.
That's FAO Director General José Graziano da Silva talking about the crisis in the Lake Chad Basin region. We'll have full details on the story coming up. Also, a warning from the UN and other international aid agencies about the growing risk of mass deaths from starvation in the Horn of Africa, Yemen, Nigeria, and South Sudan. And we go to Western Uganda, where new research finds that a disfiguring disease is linked to walking barefoot. We'll have these details and more, so stay with us. There's lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, a warning from the United Nations and other international aid agencies. They say there's a growing risk of mass deaths from starvation in the Horn of Africa, Yemen, Nigeria and South Sudan. Lisa Schlein is in Geneva for us. She reports that a lack of money is further aggravating the humanitarian crisis.
Aid agencies are haunted by the specter of the 2011 famine in the Horn of Africa, which killed more than 260,000 people, half of them children under age five. They do not want a repeat of that tragedy, but say they fear the severity of the current humanitarian crisis gripping Yemen, the Horn of Africa, and neighboring countries could result in an even worse outcome. The UN Refugee Agency reports hunger and conflict are forcing increasing numbers of people to flee within their countries and across borders in search of food and refuge. UNHCR spokesman Adrian Edwards says refugee numbers are escalating.
Consecutive harvests have failed. Conflict in South Sudan, coupled with drought, is leading to famine and outflows of refugees. Insecurity in Somalia is leading to rising internal displacement and rates of malnutrition higher, especially among children and lactating mothers.
Edwards says in the Dolo-Ado area of southeast Ethiopia, acute malnutrition rates among very young, newly arriving Somali refugee children are running between 50 and nearly 80%. Aid agencies have been scaling up their humanitarian operations in northeastern Nigeria, South Sudan, Somalia, and Yemen, where more than 20 million people are experiencing famine or are on the brink of famine. But Edwards tells VOA the efforts may be doomed to failure. He warns problems will reach catastrophic levels unless funds are received.
What we're looking at is the needs for funding from across donors and across the international community. This really is an absolutely critical situation that is rapidly unfolding across a large swathe of Africa from west to east. It does need most urgent addressing now from a really concerted international action.
Earlier this year, the United Nations launched an appeal for $4.4 billion to provide life-saving assistance in the four famine-affected countries. As of now, only 21% of that amount has been received, far from enough to avert a humanitarian catastrophe. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Researchers say there's a link between the climate phenomenon El Niño and the number of cholera cases in eastern Africa. And as VOA's Jessica Berman reports, predicting when there's going to be an El Niño event could be key to public health preparedness.
El Niño is a global climate phenomenon that occurs at irregular times, approximately every 2 to 7 years. During an El Niño, surface ocean temperatures in the eastern Pacific off the coast of South America become warmer than usual. That warming trend begins around Christmas time. The following year, in the fall, sea surface temperatures also warm, if somewhat less, in the western Pacific, leading to extreme weather events like flooding and droughts, conditions that are ripe for cholera outbreaks. Approximately 177 million people reside in areas where the incidence of cholera increases during El Niño, but there's been scant evidence of El Niño's health impact in Africa. In a study published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, epidemiologist Sean Moore led a team that found the incidence of cholera increased in countries in East Africa.
Because they either lead to surface flooding that can wash contamination into the drinking water, in areas where there's open defecation. It also can lead to overflowing of sewer systems in urban areas, which again can lead to contamination of drinking water.
There are approximately 150,000 cases of cholera per year, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa, according to Moore, an epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health in Baltimore. But during El Niños, researchers found the incidence swelled by more than 50,000 cholera cases in eastern Africa. Patterns of shift in the number of cholera cases were measured during El Niños between the years 2000 and 2014. There was also 30,000 fewer cases reported in southern Africa during El Niño years compared to non-El Niño years. Without treatment, mortality rates from cholera can climb as high as 50%, to the extent that the climate phenomenon can be predicted 6 to 12 months ahead of time. Moore says public health officials can prepare for outbreaks.
Sort of an advance warning could it, even if it doesn't prevent an outbreak, could at least prevent the deaths that tend to occur during the early part of an outbreak.
With oral rehydration therapy, according to Moore, the risk of death from cholera drops to 1%. He says there are now cheap cholera vaccines that could be used to prevent the disease before El Niño happens. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
The head of the UN Food and Agriculture Organization has just returned from Africa's Lake Chad Basin, which is an extension of the humanitarian crisis gripping northeast Nigeria. He blames the hunger and poverty there on conflict, years of neglect, and the effects of climate change. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
The FAO estimates about 7 million people risk severe hunger in the Lake Chad Basin, which includes parts of Nigeria, Cameroon, Chad, and Niger. About 50,000 of them face famine in northeast Nigeria. FAO Director General José Graziano da Silva says conflict and violence from the Boko Haram insurgency are major reasons, but he says so are environmental degradation and the effects of climate change, such as droughts. Lake Chad is disappearing.
Lake Chad is the main source of water for that region. So we are very concerned. Starting 1963, the lake was approximately 22,000 square kilometers. And 2007, it is about only 300 square kilometers, from 22,000 to 300.
He says that's a loss of 90% of its water mass and warns it'll be a lot less than that in 10 years.
The population of the lake has increased a lot, of course, due to the conflicts in all the region, the Sahel, but also due to the fact that this is the only source of water for fisheries and irrigation that we have in all the region. And the use of water for irrigation has increased in the last year, putting an additional pressure.
The FAO and other UN and humanitarian agencies are calling for urgent international support. This includes immediate food aid and support for food production.
This is not only a humanitarian crisis, it is also an ecological crisis that can affect the livelihood of these people for the future. We need to take action.
Graziano da Silva says if farmers in the region miss the May-June planting season, there may not be any substantial harvests until next year. He says what's lacking in the Lake Chad Basin region is rural development, and that results in poverty. It's a scenario, he says, that can be seen elsewhere on the continent.
You can imagine a region that's completely abandoned, no investment at all, no presence of the central government. So this is what is feeding this conflict. It's a conflict, a war, as I say, against hunger and poverty in the rural areas of Africa.
The Food and Agriculture Organization and others are working with farmers and displaced people to produce food and to get any surplus to market. They're also considering water-saving irrigation techniques. Graziano da Silva says the conflict cannot be solved only with arms, adding that peace is a prerequisite to resolving the crisis. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Parts of the North African migrant routes have become slave markets for young African men trying to reach Libya. That's according to a new report by the International Organization for Migration, which says its staff in Niger and Libya have documented what it calls shocking events. One witness told the IOM he saw a slave market where sub-Saharan migrants were bought and sold by Libyans, allegedly with the help of Ghanaians and Nigerians who work for them. The witness said he was bought and then taken to a private house where more than 100 other migrants were held as hostages. The migrants were forced to call home and ask their families to pay a ransom. Payment could range from about $500 to nearly $1,000. The witness said those who could not pay were either killed or starved to death. To raise awareness, the IOM is now recording the migrants' testimonies and sharing them on radio and social media. In related news, the IOM reports nearly 32,000 migrants and refugees have arrived in Europe by sea this year. 80% are now in Italy, the rest are in Spain and Greece. At least 664 have died trying to cross the Mediterranean. Southern Africa now, and Zambia's top opposition leader was arrested late Monday and is being held without charge, an opposition party spokesman told VOA. He says the government is accusing presidential challenger and critic Hakainde Hichilema of treason and says the arrest bodes poorly for the Southern African nation. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
Zambia's outspoken opposition leader has been arrested for the second time in just over 6 months. Part of deepening fallout from a contentious August poll that both contenders claim to have won. Late Monday night, says opposition spokesman Charles Kakoma, police broke through the doors of opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema's upscale home, blocked the gates and the doors to prevent escape, tear gassed the occupants, and then took Hichilema away. Kakoma said police still had not charged Hichilema the morning after, and they had taken him to a police training academy for questioning. He said the party had been warned that this might happen because of an incident days before, in which Hichilema's convoy crossed paths with President Edgar Lungu's motorcade, as the two men were attempting to attend the same ceremony in western Zambia.
In the past few days, the senior people in the ruling party, the Patriotic Front, have been issuing statements that the President Hakainde Hichilema must be arrested for treason. And what they were referring to was an incident that happened at a traditional ceremony in western Zambia, where Hakainde had gone to attend. And as he was going to attend the ceremony, the president of Zambia was also going to the same ceremony in the same direction. But they are saying it was a breach of security and not charging for treason.
Lungu attended the ceremony. His office could not be reached for comment, but a statement on the presidency's Facebook page said the institution doesn't recognize people who come to the ceremony with the aim of disrupting it. This is Hichilema's second arrest since October, when police held him and charged him and his deputy with sedition over their claims that August presidential poll was unfair. Dozens of their supporters also were arrested at the time. In Johannesburg, Human Rights Watch's Southern Africa director Dewa Mavinga said he was watching the situation with great concern. He says his organization has documented a deterioration in human rights and media freedoms in Zambia in recent months.
We would really urge the authorities in Zambia not to abandon respect for the rule of law and people's rights, because for a while Zambia had become a beacon for human rights respect, but in recent months, This has not been the case.
And Kakama said he is worried less about the authorities than about how Hichilema's supporters might react to his arrest.
This is very dangerous because the leader that you are talking about is one that is very popular, controlling in terms of population, almost half of the country voted for him, and widely believed to have won the last elections. So by them taking this step, they are basically inciting the population. They don't know what will happen. But it also shows that the country has gone into dictatorship because it is restricting people's rights to movement, people's rights to assembly and speech, and basically taking away the people's human rights, including those of political opponents.
It's all the more worrying, he said, because Zambia is proud of its long, peaceful democratic history. That, he fears, may be changing. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick in Washington. At 21 past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. A warning from the UN and other international aid agencies about the growing risk of mass deaths from starvation in the Horn of Africa, Yemen, Nigeria, and South Sudan. And researchers say there's a link between the climate phenomenon El Nino and the number of cholera cases in Eastern Africa. For more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Researchers have found the answer to a puzzling surge in Western Uganda patients diagnosed with a painful, disfiguring skin condition known as elephantiasis. The scientists were surprised to find that the tropical disease is not caused by parasitic worms, as once thought, but by long-term exposure to irritating soil minerals absorbed while walking barefoot. The study was prompted by what appeared to be a relatively recent and intense outbreak of elephantiasis in the Kamwenge district of Western Uganda, an area not previously known to harbor the disease. Dr. Christine Kihembo is a senior field epidemiologist with the Uganda Ministry of Health and the lead author of the study. She told reporter Kim Lewis that it mainly affects women and that most have been suffering in silence without help for more than 30 years.
So basically, elephantiasis is a chronic condition which is characterized by chronic swelling with skin changes over time, like the legs, because they're swollen with the skin changes that occur over time. They are elephant-like. You know, the skin is like elephant-like, and the swellings derive name from that.
What did your research find regarding this disease?
We uncovered a form of elephantiasis called podoconiosis that is due to chronic exposure to irritant minerals that are found in volcanic soils. So basically, we found that in an area that was previously not known to be endemic for this condition. We identified 52 persons who were affected within the communities. We found that the disease mainly affected women. Women were 5 times more affected than men. It affected older age group, and it was basically associated with mainly farmers. And the disease was associated with people who did not use protective shoes as they carried on their agriculture activities or at home, were 13 times more likely to develop that disease compared to those who consistently used shoes, protective shoes. The disease was also highly associated with poor foot hygiene, like people who did not wash their feet till end of day as they retired to bed were 11 times more likely to develop that disease than those who washed their feet consistently within 2 hours after work. This investigation demonstrated that simple and inexpensive intervention to prevent foot exposure to irritant soil, such as improving basic foot hygiene and ensuring use of protective footwear, can go a long way in preventing this otherwise debilitating disease.
Those people that do have the disease now, what can be done to treat it?
basically has five stages. Once someone has gone into the elephantiatic stage, once the elephantiasis, the swelling, the gross swelling has set in, unfortunately, you will not be able to reverse the disease. But once you identify this condition in the early stages, whereby the patient will be complaining of pain, itching in the feet, with reversible swelling that, you know, comes on and overnight to resolve. Once you stop irritants, the disease can actually be reversed. Now, in terms of specific treatment, unfortunately, you don't have specific treatment for pseudoconiosis. You're not going to say that you're going to take specific medication to treat the condition. No. So basically, the treatment is to stop the exposure, which in this case are the minerals in the soil. You may be able to halt the progression of the disease. Much as you're not reversing it, but you stop the progression.
Dr. Christine Kihembo is a senior field epidemiologist with the Uganda Ministry of Health and the lead author of the study. She spoke with my colleague Kim Lewis from Kampala. Zimbabwe's state-run Herald newspaper has published an editorial blasting the opposition, questioning the independence of the Zimbabwe Electoral Support Network and warning the European Union not to interfere with the 2018 elections. The editorial describes the ruling ZANU-PF party as a juggernaut that's facing a, quote, whimpering opposition chasing the mirage of a grand coalition, end quote. It also accuses the EU of what it calls undisguised racist arrogance towards Africans through an embargo policy. Meanwhile, Zimbabwe's severe economic problems continue, including a cash shortage and high unemployment. The Economic Freedom Index, issued by the Heritage Foundation, which is a U.S. conservative think tank, blames Zimbabwe's poor economy on excessive government interference, mismanagement, corruption, and what it says are disastrous economic policies. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Heidi Adams-Fitzpatrick in Washington. For all latest developments on the continent 24/7, do visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Werkinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Lino Ahmudu, host of Health Chat. Join us this Tuesday as we take a look at autism, a neurological and developmental disorder that begins early in childhood and affects how a person acts and interacts with others, communicates, and learns. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voenews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-691-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I am your host Shaka Salee. Every Wednesday night, the Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the Anglophone crisis in Cameroon. The nation's English-speaking minority regions say they are being politically and economically marginalized by the Francophone government. Cameroon politics, an in-depth discussion on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30. UTC.
Hello, Africa music fans. We have hours of the music that you love every day.
Some things change, some remain the same.
From the north to the south and the east to the west, we play only the best. Tune in at 0100 0200 1200 and 1300 UTC GMT right here on VOA Africa.